Luke chapter 17, verse number 11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Can you pray with me this morning? Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house. We thank you for your goodness to us and your mercy. Thank you for bringing us here, Lord. Pray, God, that you have your way, Lord. Help us to worship your name. Help us, Lord, to receive from you this morning. Pray, God, that you meet us in these altars. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach this morning on simply, Where are the 9? Where are the 9, Jesus said. 10 lepers was cleansed and only 1 came back and praised God and gave him thanks. Where are the 9? Where are they at? They're not thanking God. They're not praising God for what God has done in their life. These lepers lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Go show yourselves to the priest, Jesus said. And as they went, God done a miracle in their life. Has anybody received a miracle from God in your life? I thank God for what he has done for me. I want to have a heart of thankfulness. I want to have a heart that praises God for what he has done for me. 9 of them kept going their way, never turned back. The Bible says 1 of them, only 1 out of 10, turned around and came back. Amen. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, he was not ashamed. He didn't care who heard him. He didn't care what anybody said. That didn't bother him one bit. I'll tell you, amen, we need to worship God for what God has done for us. Can you just lift your hand right now? Ask the Lord to have his way in this service. Ask the Lord to help us. Lord, touch us right now, I pray. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'll have your way. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to realize that we're in one group or the other. We're either thanking you or we're part of the 9 that is not thanking you. It doesn't have a heart of thankfulness. Help us to worship you this morning. Help us to praise you this morning, Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord. Where are the 9 is what I'm preaching on this morning. Where are they at? Where did they go? What did they do? They didn't thank God. They didn't praise God. It is important for us to thank the Lord for what he has done for us. It is important for us to thank him, amen, for how he has helped us, amen, and how he has touched us, the miracles he's done in our life, in our family, in our home, for what he's going to do, having a heart that thanks the Lord. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. Where are the 9? Jesus asked the question. Jesus said, Where are those guys at? How come they're not thanking me? Where are they at? How come they're not praising me? How come they're not on their face at my feet giving me thanks? The Bible says, amen, that he fell down on his face. Such reverence that he had for the Lord that had helped him. Such a spirit of reverence to God. And I'll tell you right now, if we've ever in this day and hour in our society got away from our reverence for God, amen, and our reverence for what the Lord is and can do, it's today. Amen. We don't reverence the Lord like we used to. Fear God. The Bible says to fear Him. Reverence the Lord. Reverence His house. Amen. Reverence, amen, His word. Reverence Him. Amen. We ought to have an awesome reverence, a constant reverence in our mind and life for the Word of God. Amen. I know that it just becomes so familiar to us. We got to be careful. Amen. When the Word of God and the things of God become familiar to us. Because when they become familiar to us, we don't have no reverence for it. The Bible says that He fell at on His face. He got down on His face and He reverenced God. Amen. If we ever needed to reverence the Lord, to reverence His house, amen, I was taught by godly people, amen, that, reverence the Lord, reverence the house of God, reverence the Word of God. I give God honor for that. Amen. I still, as far as I know to this day, my dad, he won't put anything on top of his Bible. Won't put any other book on top of his Bible. Won't put no phone or anything on top of his Bible. There's a reverence there for the Word of God. Amen. As a little child, we wasn't allowed to run in church. You know, I know maybe if the Spirit will move or something like that, that's different. We wasn't allowed to run around in the house of God. We wasn't allowed to run, get up and go and just run, you know, different things. We came into the church, me being, you know, a man. The Bible talks about having your head uncovered when you pray. We maybe just, as little boys, we was taught, amen, you don't wear a hat in the sanctuary. Don't wear a hat in the house of God. Amen, you know, take your hat off when you're praying, things like that. But if we've ever seen a day where we're getting away for reverence in God, amen. It's just another thing. It's just another word. Amen. We must reverence His name. The Bible says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Amen. God won't hold him guiltless. That's the third commandment of the Ten Commandments. But here this man saw that he was healed, and he fell down on his face. Fell on his face in a gesture of worship to the Lord and reverence to the Lord. When Moses was at the burning bush, the Bible said that God spoke to him out of the burning bush. And Moses is there. He said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight. God called Moses, amen, to lead God's people out at that very day. But he needed him to do one thing first. And that one thing that he needed him to do was take your shoes off. Take your shoes off, because the place you're standing is holy ground. Amen. What was it? God wanted reverence out of him. God cannot use any individual. Matter of fact, we deny God access into our life when we don't reverence him, when we don't honor him. We owe the Lord honor. The Bible said that, amen, he called Moses and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here am I. And he said, draw not hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Before God could speak to him or deal with him or tell him his battle plans or what he wanted him to do, he had to get reverence out of him. I'm telling you, many times that first step in our approach to God, amen, and our, amen, how we respond to God stops us so much. Joshua is scouting out Jericho. You know the story. There's a man there with a sword drawn in his hand. The Bible said, Joshua said, are you for us or are you for our enemies? He said, I'm not for either one. He said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. He said, what do you have to say to me? He said, take your shoes off, because the place you're standing is holy ground. What was it? Amen. God wanted reverence out of him. Here was this man. I'm preaching this morning on Where Are the Nine. Here was this man that came back and he reverenced the Lord. He reverenced him. I know that we live in a society, amen, that doesn't reverence the Lord, doesn't reverence God's word, doesn't reverence God's house, doesn't reverence God's, day.
day, the Sunday, which is the Lord's day. But we as the people of God ought to have an awesome, amen, reality in our heart and in our life. God has done great things for me, and I will reverence Him. The Bible said in Psalms 89:7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. I know it seems like it's become a game now. I know that churches seem to become, you know, an entertainment place where we can go and see how good somebody can sing, see how good somebody can preach, see how good somebody can talk, see how good, how they can tickle our ears. I know this is end time prophecy, but He said that God is to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints. When we come to the house of God, amen, this ain't like our house. Amen. We didn't come here to take a nap. We didn't come here to find a boyfriend or girlfriend. We didn't come here, amen, to see who could sing or see who could preach the best. We come to the house of the Lord. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. He ran them out. He said, get out of here. He said, you have contaminated God, my Father's house. Amen. There's got to be a reverence for God. God is to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. We must reverence the Lord. We must reverence His presence. Amen. When God's presence is near, we must reverence Him. We must reverence His presence. And here was this one. I'm preaching this morning on Where is the Nine? He was down on his face before the Son of God. Where's the nine that'll reverence the Lord, that'll fear the Lord? I know that in the day and hour we live in, we got all kinds of different things. They was telling me the other day, said they got a drive-through church. Now, I don't know, y'all might know about this more than me, but they got a drive-through church where you can drive in and get your little sermon or something, you know, and then drive off, and you don't even have to get out of your car, get your blessing, or I don't know, they might throw a little water on you or sprinkle you or something like that. I mean, if it's time to get baptized, I guess they just baptize the whole car or something. But, and you know, there's a church up in Oklahoma City. I know it used to be real popular. They built this church around this fishing pond because everybody wanted to fish, you know, instead of go to church. So you could come to church and fish. They'd let you fish. I guess they'd just throw them back. I don't know. Or stock them every Saturday, or maybe they didn't catch nothing. But the preacher would walk out on this pier and he'd preach. And I know, you know, there was a big thing here in East Texas and still is in some way. And it may have leveled out. But the first, you know, they had these cowboy churches and they still are. But at first they was actually like arenas, and where they would go in, they'd ride a horse in. I know the first one over at Athens, that was a big thing. They'd come in, he'd have a cow, they'd tie up a cow, like, you know, and different things, and all these, you know, East Texans and everything. Hey, I got my boots on this morning, but I'm just telling you, you know, God is to be reverenced, and God is to be feared. It's not a game. It's not to put people the gospel, whatever it takes. But I'm telling you, friend, it's more important than, you know, getting somebody in here, amen, and counting how many in so we can put it on the board, you know, and nobody shows back up on Sunday night, or put it on the board, and nobody lives right on Monday, and we put it on the board, we got all these numbers, but are we living right? Are we talking right? Amen, are we walking the straight and narrow path? Are we, amen, living for God? Where are the nine that'll fall on their face before God? Amen, and reverence Him, and live a life that pleases Him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he fell on his face at his feet. Submission to God. Amen. Right there at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Where are the nine that'll submit themselves to God? Where are the nine that'll submit themselves? We're not living in a society that is submitted to God. Amen. But we must be submitted to God instead of sin. You'll serve one. You'll either serve God or mammon. You'll serve God or yourself. The Bible said, no man can serve two masters. One guy said that that's proof right there that you can't be married to more than one woman at a time. You cannot serve two masters. But, come on, y'all loosen up a little bit this morning. But the Bible says, amen, you'll either hate the one and love the other, hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You'll either serve God or the devil. The Bible says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Can I get an amen this morning? Hallelujah. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I'm yielded unto God. Amen. I'm yielded unto His ways. I'm yielded unto His call. I'm yielded unto His purpose. I'm yielded unto His plan. That's what it was. He is down there at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And my, where are the nine that'll get at the feet of Jesus and say, not my will, but thine be done? Where's the nine? He said, where's the nine? I cleansed 10, but only one came back and submitted himself to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, we need God to help us to submit to Him. It's not easy to submit to God. It's hard to bring that old self will under the power of God and under the submission of God. But it's the best thing for us. The Bible said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of disobedience unto righteousness. Hallelujah. Submission to God. Submitting to Him. Resisting sin's penalty. Obeying God. Amen. We ought to obey God, the Bible says, rather than man. I know that in this day and hour, they may pass laws. They may force things down our throat. Amen. You know, just like what we're all stirred up this weekend about, you know, the bathroom laws and, you know, all this. I can just imagine, amen, what God thinks about some of this stuff. But, you know, just make you want to scratch your head. You know, and some of the, you know, how in the world we come up with some of this stuff, you know. But there may come a day, amen, where laws have to be followed or penalties, amen, or punishment takes place. Friend, it's better to obey God than it is to man. It's better to suffer. It's better to sit somewhere in a jail cell. It's better to lose out on something. It's better to face different things than it is, amen, to disobey God or His Word. Praise God. I know, you know, that homosexuality and the gay and lesbianism community is on the rise. Amen. And it's such a forceful demon that's forcing itself into society. Now, I don't know. It may come to the time where we can't preach against it, or so they say. May come to a time where there's a payment that must be made for laws that are broken. Amen. And messages that are preached across the pulpits in America. I don't know, but I'd rather be at the feet of Jesus than obey man. I'd rather submit to God than man. Hallelujah. I'd rather obey God than man. We must obey God rather than man. How's man going to help you? How's man going to deliver you? How's man going to save you? How's man going to heal you? How's man going to give you a future? Amen. But God will do all that and above. No wonder he was at his feet. He saw that he was healed. He saw what God had done in his life. Let me ask you a question this morning since we're here. Have you saw God work in your life enough for you to submit yourself to him? Has God proved that he is great? Amen. And greatly to be praised enough. Fall at his feet. Where are the nine? There's one. He's there at the feet of Jesus, submitted to Jesus, submitted to the way and the will of God, saying, whatever you want for my life, that's what I want. Hallelujah. Can you look at your life? The Bible said when he saw he was healed. Can you see what God has done in your life? Can you see anything that God has done for you? Is it enough for you to reverence the Lord? Is it enough for you to fall on your face at your feet of Jesus and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Not what I I want, but what you want. Not my plan, but your plan. Not my purpose, but your purpose. Here was this one man out of 10. Hallelujah. He was proof. There was proof in his life that God had done enough for him that he was going to submit himself to the Lord. I pray this morning that we would look at our life and see what God's done. If we could just get past the crowd. 9 of them are going. Hey, let's run. Let's go. You know, we could go on and on about these lepers, but they had to be banished from society. They couldn't be around. Amen. They was in a box. They was in a cave. They was in a prison of their own problem. And here, all of a sudden, here's some freedom. Amen. Let's run and see this. Let's go see that. They was away from their family. They was away from their friends. They couldn't go to the store. They couldn't go to their favorite restaurant. All of a sudden, it's all okay now. Here I can go. Here I can run. Here I can be. But there was one of them that knew Jesus had touched his life. And he said, before I do anything, I'm going to go back. Amen. The Bible said he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell on his face at his feet. Amen. Submission to God. The Bible says, hallelujah, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You try to resist the devil when you're not submitted to God and see if he flees. I said, you try to resist the devil. You try to chase the devil off when you're not submitted to God and see if he flees. Amen. He ain't no more scared of us. He ain't no more scared of a human being. Amen. But you take a man, a woman, or boy, or girl, anybody that's submitted to God, it makes hell tremble. It makes the devils tremble. Amen. You take somebody that's submitted to God. Amen. The devil knows that God's going to fight for us. Amen. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And if God fights for us, who can? Amen. And so submitting to God brings results in our life. Submitting to God causes the devil to flee. Amen. The devil on the run. Somebody wrote a song, said, the devil's in the phone booth dialing 911. I doubt it. The devil ain't in the phone booth dialing 911. Hallelujah. And I know the point of that song is just simply we've prayed and got hold to God. We've had revival. We've had a touch of God. And the devil's scared. Now, you know, I agree with, you know, that point there. But the devil is full-fledged at work. Amen. He's doing his best to destroy, to kill, to wreck, and to ruin. Amen. But you take somebody at the feet of Jesus who is submitted to God, saying, God, have your way in my life, and the devil ain't got no power over that individual. Hallelujah. He has to come through the hedge. I'm preaching this morning on where are the 9? Where are the 9 that'll submit to Jesus? Only one that'll submit to God. Hallelujah. Only one. They tell the story of D.L. Moody. Amen. That was in a service years before he ever began his ministry. You've probably heard it. And the preacher said, the world has yet to see what God can do through one individual that is totally 100% surrendered to God. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord touched young D.L. Moody in that service, and he made a commitment in his heart that said, I will be that one. Now, I want to know today, can God touch our heart that'll say, I'll be that one. I'll be the one that can God can use that'll be 100% sold out to God. It's just like D.L. Moody took a hand and put it on England, took a hand and put it on America, and just shook it for God. Amen. And still today we see the effects of this man that God used. How did God use him? How did God use a man that died when he was young? Amen. So to speak. Amen. The doctor said, Mr. Moody, your body is completely worn out. Amen. man, your body is worn out. He was in his early 60s, but he had given his life totally to God. I want you to know today, the devil's got enough, young people. The devil's got enough families. Can I get a witness? The devil has enough men. The devil has enough women. The devil has enough grandmas and grandpas. Amen. I know the nine is on their way to have a big party. I know the nine is on their way to have a bunch of fun. I know the nine is on their way to do a bunch of catch up. Hallelujah. I remember this girl, amen, that was raised up near me and raised real tight and real strict. Amen. When she got to age, man, she hit the wild life. Amen. It's like she couldn't get enough. It's like she couldn't get enough, Brother Chris. Amen. She's held there in that captivity. Amen. And man, she took off with the nine when she got 18. But I'm telling you, I saw her at Walmart not long ago. Amen. And tears swelled up in her eyes. And she said, I sure do miss. Amen. I sure do miss all those old times. Amen. At church. What was it? She ran with the nine. Amen. But if we could just have one. Hey, God's not saying there has to be only one. He said, I'll take two, three. But where are the nine? I'll tell you, the nine are running to the party. I'll tell you, the nine are running to the booze. I'll tell you, the nine are running to addictions and drugs and worldly things. Amen. But there's one right here at the feet of Jesus. And he's saying, I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm going to reverence myself. I'm going to do what God, I'm going to let God do what he wants to in my life. Amen. And let me tell you something. Society is blessed so much further by the one. Amen. And the nine will tear it down.
I wish I had it in front of me. It's in my office. It just came to my mind. I might have to get it for you and read it for you tonight. But Jonathan Edwards was a great preacher. They called it the early Great Awakening in America. Late 1700s, he preached, amen, and God used him. Preached by candlelight, and people would shake under the power of God. It was just the Spirit of God bringing revival to early America, bringing them back to God. And I thank God for that. We need that again today. Amen. But Jonathan Edwards, amen, he sold his life out to God. He gave himself to God. I believe it was an early statesman, amen, that or something there. I know he was a well-known man in early America. I don't remember his name. Probably most of us wouldn't even know his name, but he was a great man in history at that time, who was a renowned atheist that fought against the work of God and fought against the things of God. The Moody Institute done a research on Jonathan Edwards' descendants and this man's descendants. And you might be familiar with this research. Amen. But Jonathan Edwards' descendants, amen, he had descendants that was congressmen. I believe he had a vice president in his descendants. I believe he even had a president in his descendants. I'll have to look it up. He had multiple college professors. He even had some college presidents. He had CEOs of companies, all just in his descendants. Amen. That was men that was successful and done these different things. Lawyers and doctors and different things. They took this other man and what they could find of his descendants. Amen. Drug addicts, jail, murderers, different things and on and on. And they took the price. Amen. That they caught the government and they cost the government and society, and it was so staggering. Amen. But it started with one man who would not surrender to God, who wouldn't bow himself to God. And I'm here to tell you today, amen, there was nine of them going to do whatever. Brother Wayne, they had been banished from society. Amen. But here they are. Man, I'm gold. Here we go. My God, help us. But one turned back and said, I've got something I have to do first. You know the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now I want you to know, Sister Bethany, he fell down first at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And the difference in any person's life when we come to God first and say, oh God, I want to thank you. Amen. He was thanking the Lord. He was praising the Lord. He was reverencing the Lord. He was submitting himself to the Lord.
Amen. There's just something holy about reverencing God, submitting ourselves to God, and praising God. There's just something holy about thanking the Lord. Amen. We live a life, amen, of luxury. We live a life of benefits. We live a life of satisfaction. And we never once think about how God has been good to us. Amen. No wonder the psalmist said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with his benefits." No wonder the psalmist said, "Amen. Come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." How many times do we come into church? Amen. And we can't wait till prayer request time. We can't wait till we see what we can get from God. But the Bible said, "Enter into his gates with what? And into his courts with praise." Amen. Somebody wrote a song, said, "Lord, I didn't come to ask you for nothing today. I come to thank you. I come to praise you. I just want to say thanks." Amen. What is he doing on his face? What is he doing at his feet? He's thanking the Lord. He's thanking him for delivering him. He's thanking him for what he's done for him. Where would we be without God in our life? Amen. Where would our life be without the Lord? Amen. We get in these times of blessings and assurance, amen, and satisfaction. The Bible said that he told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, right before they was fixing to go in, Moses said, "Hey, when y'all get down there in that good land, and you get in those houses that you didn't even build, amen, and you get in those vineyards that you didn't even plant, amen, you start eating the fruit of the land that you never done nothing with." He said, "Beware lest you forget." He said, "But instead, you must thank the Lord for what he's done for you." I want to know, somebody here today, has God been good to you? Has God blessed you in tough times? Has God been good to you? Where are the nine? Amen. Are we the only ones God's been good to? Oh, no. Amen. The nine are going on just like we deserved it, just like God should have done it. He said, "And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." The gift of God in our life. No wonder the Bible said, "In everything give thanks." Oh, I wish somebody, amen, could get a part of the one this morning instead of the nine. I wish somebody could forget about their problem just for a little while and realize how God has been good to us, how God has been good to you. He fell down at his feet and he began to thank God. Do you have something to thank God for? The Bible said in Colossians 1 and 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Hallelujah. Giving thanks to God. "God, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for saving my soul. I want to thank you for moving in my life. I want to thank you for helping me." Amen. Ruth Graham said, amen, that she woke up one night, amen, so troubled about one of her that was away from God. She said, "I lay in that bed." Amen. She said, "I was so troubled." Amen. She said, "I was so troubled." And she said, this was her own word. She said, "God, don't ever speak to me." She said, very rarely. She said, "I've never heard him in an audible voice." She said, "But when God does speak to me, I know he don't have to speak in an audible voice." That's what she said. She said, "I've never heard him in an audible voice. But when he speaks to me, there is no doubt." Out. Amen. And she said that the Lord spoke to me, amen, about prayer and supplication. Amen. That is found in Philippians. She said that scripture came to me in everything by prayer and supplication. Hallelujah. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. She said, "I turned the light on." She said, "I was so troubled." Amen. About what was going on. She said, "I turned the light on and got the scripture." She said, "I read it then." And she said, "I knew what God was telling me." She said, "The Bible says, be careful for nothing." In other words, don't worry about it. Hallelujah. And she said, "I got under conviction." She said, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." And she said, "The Lord said, you got your prayer and supplication right. Where is your thanksgiving?" Hallelujah. And she knew I'd been crying. She said, "I knew I'd been crying out to God, but I had not been praising him. I had not been worshiping him. She said, I knelt by the side of the bed in the middle of the night, and she said, I began to praise God. I began to thank him. She said, all of a sudden, all of my worry went right out of my heart. And she said, I learned something that day. Worry and worship can't stay in the same house. Woo! Hallelujah! Worry and worship cannot stay in the same house. Be careful for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. It shocked God to death if we came to prayer request time and thanked him. But the Bible said, let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. That's just like making a cake and leaving the cocoa out. Or making cookies and leaving the sugar out. You got to mix it all together. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. It's a very important ingredient into our prayer time. Hallelujah. Praising God. Here was this leper that was at the feet of Jesus on his face. With a loud voice, thanking God. And Jesus says, where are the nine? And I come to preach this morning on where are the nine? Oh, they got better things to do, really? They got more important things. Really? We're not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? They're not found. Return to give glory to God. Save the stranger. No wonder Psalms 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Now, I'm almost done preaching, so we're going to be able to go in just a few minutes. But are we obeying this scripture right now? Praise God in his sanctuary. So nobody else is. Hey, I'm talking about that one right now. If I could just get one that would pray, that would obey this scripture. Praise ye God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Can we obey that just for a little while? Where is the nine? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Do you have something to praise God for? Do you have something to worship God for? Hallelujah. Do you have something to praise God for? I've got something to praise God for. Lord, I want to thank you for helping me. Lord, I want to thank you for saving my soul. Lord, I want to thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to worship you and live for you. Lord, I want to thank you for your blessings on us, Lord. I want to thank you for your goodness, God. I want to thank you for your mercy, God. I want to thank you for it, Jesus. I want to thank you for it, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take some time with this altar this morning. Hallelujah.